This week on Making Contact.
When they come for the goal, they come for everything.
We started to realize that they were trying to sell us something, because this is the first time that a mining project of this scale has come to Patagonia. They were trying to win us over, to take advantage of us.
In the midst of a shattered economy in Argentina, U.S.-based Meridian Gold acquired a gold deposit in Patagonia with an estimated worth of $1 billion. This mining project, however, could damage the natural environment and the local community's way of life. On this edition, Making Contact's Pauline Bartolone traveled to the small town of Esquel in southern Argentina, where the residents successfully halted the gold mining venture. Their struggle is part of a larger movement of social transformation in Argentina. I'm Amy Pomerleau, your host this week on Making Contact, an international radio program creating connections between people, vital ideas, and important information.
Argentina's windy Patagonia is one of the most resource-rich regions in the Southern Cone. These southern provinces are a stark contrast to the bustling streets of its capital city, Buenos Aires, in the north. The Andes Mountains tower over pristine bodies of turquoise water and grazing plains spotted with sheep. Hawks ride on the strong winds that sweep over miles of wool production estates and abandoned railroad tracks. Much to the dismay of its inhabitants, companies such as Meridian Gold are attracted to this region for mineral exploitation.
They came to the territory without consulting anyone, without authorization, without questioning. That was the first issue.
As is the case in many small towns, Manolo Macacho wears many hats. He is a lawyer and bookstore owner in downtown Esquel, a sparsely populated city in the province of Chubut.
The system that they had was take everything, pay what they want, and leave it as they want. Then the people will take care of the rest.
Meridian Gold acquired a gold deposit called El Desquite in July 2002, just a few miles down the road from the city of 30,000 residents. But the company didn't notify the community of its plans until after preparations were underway for a 20-kilometer-long open-pit gold mining project. Considering Argentina's economy allowed for cheap investment and high profits, to Meridian Gold, the mining project seems simple and straightforward. Meridian Gold's plan was to gain an estimated $1 billion profit and leave Patagonia with no post-closure guarantees like environmental cleanup. As an emerging company in the industry, their success in the El Peñón gold mine in northern Chile's Atacama Desert made them one of the fastest-growing gold companies in the field. Their promotional video about the success of their El Peñón mine shows the company is not used to dealing with neighbors.
As in every mining construction project, a lot of difficulties had to be sorted out. It was necessary to construct 45 kilometers of paved road to allow a comfortable and safe transport of the personnel to and from Antofagasta.
Since Meridian Gold's other mining projects were in remote locations such as Nevada, Idaho, and Chile, the company was unprepared to deal with massive opposition. Javier Rodriguez Pardo is a scientist and environmental activist in Patagonia. He says mining is one of the most destructive industries there is.
Y descubrimos que después de 10 años de explotación minera,
and we discover that after 10 years of mining exploitation, not one peso will stay in the province of Chubut. All of the minerals will be exported to the so-called Patagonian doors, and the government will subsidize this cost. So, after exporting this gold and having to pay money for it, what is left for Esquel and the Chubut province? 262 jobs, this export cost, the acid rock drainage, and a cleft kilometers long in the mountain range. And of course, they will leave us the environmental contamination.
The cyanide destruction process before final disposal of the tailings is also the first of its kind, and in spite of its simplicity, works extremely well.
Cyanide is used in gold mining to separate the metal from low-grade ore. The company's plan for gold production at El Desquite would involve the daily use of 2,700 kilograms of cyanide. In order to dilute the cyanide to prepare it for disposal, a significant amount of water is needed. The mine would use daily the same amount of water consumed by 7,500 people. That's a quarter of the city's population. This cyanide water could potentially contaminate Lake Esquel, a water source for the nearby city. Silvio Gonzalez, professor of organic chemistry at the University of Patagonia, did an independent scientific assessment of the impact.
En realidad, bueno, el cianuro es un veneno, es una sustancia que en pequeñas cantidades tiene efectos.
In reality, cyanide is a venom, a substance that in very small quantities has toxic and lethal effects. So that you have an idea, we are talking about milligrams of cyanide equivalent to 1 grain of rice, and that amount can cause death. So it has big effects in small quantities. Of course, a substance of this nature requires very careful handling. So this was the biggest problem with a mine on this scale, that it will be very hard to control the cyanide. Not only cyanide, but other types of cyanide compounds that dissolve in water and run in cold water. So the fish are really sensitive, more than human beings. There is so much cyanide in their products that break down the rock. And in general, they don't want to control these products. Cyanide destroys and transforms, and they don't want to control these products that contain it.
The symptoms of cyanide toxicity in humans include anything from headaches to sudden death. Although Meridian Gold claims it has technology to reduce the risks of cyanide, the local water supplier said contamination was likely and publicly came out against the mine. Scientist Laura Miserentino, who works with Gonzalez, said cyanide can't just be filtered out. In addition to the human health risks, cyanide endangers aquatic life.
One of the most serious effects of cyanide is the phenomenon of acidification of the water system's receptors, or water below these projects. So what this process of crushing up rock does is liberate metals and minerals that are naturally in the rock. So this foments the process of acidification. All of the water systems that are in Patagonia, rivers and lakes, have a neutral pH balance. They're slightly alkaline. So if we acidify the water, we eliminate flora and fauna that are not accustomed to living in acidic environments. The problem of acidification is that we have been shown by practically all of the mining projects that they are not able to neutralize the water, because there is no technology to neutralize the problem of acidification.
No hay tecnología que permita neutralizar el problema de la acidificación.
The gold processing method slated for El Desquite is called open pit mining. In the United States, cyanide leaks in open pit mines have resulted in the displacement of families and irreparable harm to aquatic life. One such case in Montana led to the ban of cyanide use in open pit mines in the state. Vicentino was in Montana and studied the contamination.
Particularmente en Montana, lo que se ha visto.
So particularly in Montana, what we have seen is that after these open pit mining projects, the damage to the aquatic ecosystems is irreversible. And the degree to which these ecosystems can recover varies from a few years to many years, or in some cases it takes 100 years. We're talking about very long periods of time. The thing is, the manifestations of these processes don't start right when the mine starts. The hole in the mountain starts to fill with water once the mine is abandoned. So after 10, 15 years, it starts to fill with liquid, and this liquid is acidic.
The impact of cyanide on the region's fragile ecosystem is one of the chief concerns of the Esquel residents. Despite repeated requests, Meridian Gold's offices in both Patagonia and the U.S. declined to be interviewed about the El Desquite mine project for this report. In the past, the company has held public information sessions about their mining project. Chemist Gonzalez.
We went with other people from the university, and not only did it surprise us, but it offended us that they were talking about the toxicity of cyanide like it were a product of minor importance. They told people that things you buy in the supermarket had the same level of danger as cyanide. Throughout all these talks, they really tried to minimize the risk of cyanide.
The Esquel residents describe the sessions as too technical and more public relations than discussions. According to the residents, the company neglected to provide information about their plans for safe transport, destruction, and use of the cyanide. University scientist Marta Saores went into the community to combat what she described as a disinformation campaign by Meridian Gold.
Es decir, decían la verdad, porque es verdad, pero que esconde muchas mentiras.
Well, this is how they did it. They said what was true, but they hid a lot of lies. All these products we could understand because we're scientists. But the public, who doesn't know anything about chemical science or about chemical reactions, they can't interpret these lies. That's why it was so important for us to study it and go out into the community with it. Obviously, what the company was interested in was production, you know, working in the mine. So logically, they would open the way for them to do it.
Abrían el camino como para hacerlo.
In the land of sheep-filled farms and horseback transportation, Meridian Gold's presence was out of place for a Patagonian town. Company employees drove large cars, bought up the most expensive houses on that city's outskirts, and worked out of an office with tinted windows in the center of town. To many people in Esquel, the mine wasn't just threatening their environmental health. It was threatening their sovereignty, their way of life, and in return, it was offering very little. Esquel resident Marisa Vite started organizing against the mine from the beginning.
They are also going to take away our resources, not to mention that they are going to change a people that want to live in another way of life. It's not just that we don't want our beautiful home to turn ugly. It's that we don't want to give away our resources to multinational corporations that come to take away what is ours. We want them to see how it is and to prevent the government from exploiting the natural environment, because they have created a vulnerability in the people, such as unemployment. The corporations come to us promising work. This is deplorable and harmful to us. That's the way they come into our country, a devastated Argentina, an Argentina without work, without projects, and all the rest.
Como está la Argentina, sin trabajo, sin proyectos y demás.
The few job opportunities available were temporary and excluded many residents since it required a high school education. Marilyn Ocampo was one of the most outspoken critics of the mine. She says the residents of Esquel were growing increasingly distrustful of the company.
Yo personalmente estoy en contra de la mina, bueno, ya te digo, porque quiero defender una calidad de vida muy importante y muy sana para mis hijos.
I'll tell you why I'm against the mine. I'm against the mine because I want a healthy and good quality of life for my children, and of course, for other children as well. And because I was always worrying, and I still worry, about the social prospects for the citizens of Esquel, because it lacks fundamental things. There are no resources for work as it is, and in reality, a mine project means more poverty, because it's temporary work. It's happened in other countries where there is a revolution over a very short period of time, and it's not going to be any different here in Esquel. And so we were thinking about how we have a lot of temporary workers here, people that are hungry, and I know what hunger is. So thinking about this affected me profoundly.
As tensions between the residents of Esquel and Meridian Gold grew, city streets filled with graffitied messages such as "Go home, Yankee," and "No to the mine." Company employees found themselves unwelcome in local stores. Community members say media outlets didn't cover the dissent, and public meeting spaces were hard to come by. In a matter of a few months, the community made it known that the gold mine was not welcome in Patagonia. Manolo Macacho, lawyer, activist, and bookstore owner in Esquel.
Mucha gente acá se empezó a mover porque cuando viene una multinacional acá enseguida la gente se queda alerta.
People started to mobilize because here, when a multinational comes, people become really alarmed and are like, here they come. And when we learned that the gold mine project included an open exploitation and the use of cyanide and a ton of other toxics so close to Esquel, people started to search and search and search for information, but alternative information.
Community members in Esquel started organizing opposition to the El Desquite gold mine. They began to meet in the center of town, broke up into working groups, each specializing in their own research to bring back to the group.
Justamente, el presidente Casas, que es, coincidentemente es el que abastece a las empresas mineras de todo lo que necesitan.
They began to network locally and with other communities all over the world dealing with cyanide contamination and open pit gold mining. Local print reporter Pablo Quintana picked up on the movement while covering the proposed mine for Chubut's daily newspaper. Before long, he became a member of the dissent himself.
And the moment arose when we started to meet in this very school in the center of town. Around 100 people started to meet at the end of October 2002. Each person started to tell others what they found out, what they knew, what we had read on the internet about other mining projects, what was the significance of an open pit mine. For me, it was a fascinating experience when you look at it. They are university professors, housewives, unemployed people, doctors, journalists, a multitude of people. And almost all of us have the same values and support each other in what we want to do. And on top of that, you have the characteristics of each person, and each are different. But every step is voted on and created by participants in the Asamblea.
The Asamblea, or Popular Assembly, is a phenomenon born out of the economic crisis of 2001. The popular assemblies are a combination of community meetings, political dialogue, and campaign organizing. They form spontaneously out of necessity and are comprised of neighbors who try to organize alternatives to the free market economic policies that failed them. Marisa Vite describes principles behind the popular assembly in Esquel.
Se organizan por la falta de respuesta de los representantes de lo que sea, de gremios, de instituciones.
Assemblies organize themselves because of a lack of response from representatives, in whatever it be, in unions and institutions, and the people convene themselves. In the beginning, they are pretty chaotic, but wonderful for the diversity that they show. And so they get together to generate proposals. We say that Latinos are really innovative. So a lot of us think that things change from the people and with the people. And that's how it is, because we are always seeing that things don't happen with our representatives or with voting. No, things change when we listen to each other and make proposals, and when we start to demand that our representatives listen to what we want.
The assembly members in Esquel designated every fourth of the month, the day Meridian Gold was supposed to start mining El Desquite, as a day of street demonstrations against the mine. Scientist and activist Javier Rodriguez Pardo says that two-thirds of the unemployed came out against the mine, despite promises for new jobs.
People figured out that there was a cat locked in a box, that something was being hidden from us, and the people went to the street. The movement was growing. Everyone went to the street. In September, the Asamblea was just 40 people, and it grew to 6,000 people in the street by the following March. In a town with less than 30,000 people, with 6,000 unemployed, we had that many people in the street. It was just amazing.
We'll have more about resistance to gold mining in Patagonia in a few moments. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or cassette or CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org.
Only 8 months after Meridian Gold bought the gold deposit in Argentina, a fifth of the population of Esquel was marching on a monthly basis against the mine. The popular assembly members requested a plebiscite, or a city government-conducted poll, to determine support for the project. In the days leading up to the March 2003 vote, the company made last-ditch efforts to sway popular opinion to their favor.
Somos muchos los que decimos sí. Mi nombre es Marisa Beatriz Gómez de Barisco. Digo que sí.
This radio advertisement for the company features an Esquel resident telling their community members, there are a lot of us who will vote yes to the mine, and that working together is the best way.
Trabajando juntos es mejor. Meridian Gold.
Manolo Macaisho, popular assembly member and lawyer.
Como te decía, pagaron los taxis y...
They were paying off taxis and gave people presents the days leading up to the plebiscite, presents like food and drinks. There are even people that told us that they got chorizos or sausages to make Argentine barbecues. We have it on film. When they were handing out the sausages, there you can see Meridian Gold giving out sausages and Coca-Cola and wine.
Había uno que decía estos chorizos y esta Coca-Cola, este vino te me lo regalaron los de la minera.
Scientist and activist Rodriguez Pardo recounts activities just a few days before the vote.
Días antes de la votación por el plebiscito aquí en Esquel.
Days before the plebiscite that was going to decide whether or not the people wanted the mine, Meridian Gold was bribing the population. People were coming up to us and were saying, listen, they gave us this money, but where were you guys? And what will you do? They grabbed the money, sure, why not? In the privacy of the voting booth, they had the will of their own to decide how they were going to vote. But this corruption is permanent, systematic, and permanent. And it's sad. It is really sad.
Y es triste. Es muy triste.
Despite the efforts of Meridian Gold to win the vote, an overwhelming 81% of the voting population cast their ballot against the mine. Marilyn Ocampo.
Y cuando llegamos al día del plebiscito, que fue no dormir tal vez la noche anterior.
When the day of the plebiscite came, nobody had slept the night before. We were all there thinking about what we were going to do the next day. And there always existed the possibility of losing, because in the voting booths, only the people know how they're going to vote. But really, I had faith. I had faith in the people. And the people responded when we went out to the neighborhoods. There was a genuine feeling of trust in the people. I had a particular experience because I was at the counting tables. When you are at the counting tables, it's the most crucial moment where you get the most sense of what's going on, because you're always communicating with the schools where people were voting. They would tell you how many votes were for yes and how many were for no. So I was yelling out the results for the people in and outside. To me, it was something spectacular. And the reaction of the people when they found out the first round, to me, was amazing. After the first round, we already knew that the mining project was not going to win. We partied until all hours of the night, because that's when we could relax, cry, laugh, and hug all of each other with passion. It was cool. Really, it was really cool.
Y abrazarte así, con pasión, ¿no? Fue algo bárbaro, la verdad que fue algo bárbaro.
After the vote, Meridian Gold responded by hiring a public relations group called Business for Social Responsibility. The PR group filed an extensive report citing the shortcomings of the company and communicating with the residents of Esquel, after which Meridian Gold issued a letter of apology. But it was too late. Less than 2 weeks after the overwhelming rejection of the project in the plebiscite, the city of Esquel passed an ordinance restricting the use of toxic chemicals in large-scale industrial projects. Soon after, Meridian Gold put the mining project on hold while they try to win the support of the community. Meridian Gold did not make its way into Esquel on its own. Opponents of the mine believe that Argentine mining laws and the pro-mining stance of the government held out a helping hand to the company. Despite his progressive reputation in the international arena, President Néstor Kirchner has been heckled by the workers' movements in Argentina. He's also unpopular in Esquel for not taking a hard line against the mining industry. The Argentine government and Meridian Gold made an agreement that the El Desquite mine would not pay taxes during the first half of the 9-year project, even though the law states that mining companies must consult the surrounding communities of intent to operate 30 to 60 days prior to investment, this law was not enforced in the case of Meridian Gold. Lawyer Makaisho says that there are also laws adopted during the Carlos Menem presidency that facilitated mining investment.
El Código de Minería establece muchos derechos para las empresas mineras y prácticamente ningún derecho.
The mining laws establish a lot of rights to the mining companies and practically none for the owners of the property. There's very little right to oppose these projects. The mining projects can come all the way up to the side of your house. Can you believe it? It practically says, come here, under this house. So the mining laws are from the era of Menem. And the people really didn't know how this was in the mining laws.
The Federal Environmental Protection Committee has never visited the area to assess environmental impact or intervene in the conflict, says Makaisho. Residents are so distrustful of the company and the government, they suspect Meridian Gold is mining illegally.
Se pueden hacer muchas leyes, pero volvemos a lo mismo. Vamos a tener que estar nosotros atrás de los funcionarios para que las cumplan. Esa es la experiencia que tenemos. O sea, leyes se pueden hacer muchas, ¿no?
We can make a lot of laws, but we always come back to the same thing. The people have to be behind them so that they are actually followed. You can make a ton of laws, but the issue is that afterwards we find out that they weren't followed through with. That's the biggest problem that we have right now, that we are the only ones that follow through with the law because our representatives are not willing to, and this is the root problem. People are getting exhausted with institutions, and it's getting to the point where we can't rely on any institutions anymore.
Es el gran problema, ¿no? Se agotan las instituciones. Se va llegando un momento que no tenés más instituciones donde ir a reclamar.
Meanwhile, Meridian Gold loses approximately $500,000 a month while waiting to mine El Desquite. Madalena Campo says that if it hadn't been for the forceful and continuous organizing of the residents of Esquel, Meridian Gold would not have halted operations.
Bueno, yo creo que el proceso que hemos tenido la mayor parte de los esquelenses fue algo muy importante porque...
What we have achieved has been done through the people being out on the streets. Our objective is to continue struggling for this in the streets in the face of whatever comes our way that we don't like. We say they can't sell something that is not for sale.
Digamos, no pueden comprar algo que no se vende.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Hernan Scandiso. Thanks also to Natalia Healy, Jeff Brady, Aurora Medina, Sebastian Hatcher, Hector Salgado, Sunny Angulo, Amelia Gonzalez, Miguel Guerrero, Stephanie Welch, Ben Rosenfeld, Brian Edwards Tickert, and The Platform. Our theme music is by the Charlie Hunter Trio. For a cassette or CD copy of the program Patagonian Winds of Resistance, program number 1204, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. That's 800-529-5736. You can also visit our website at radioproject.org. Making Contact is an independent production. If you have suggestions for future programs, we'd love to hear from you. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Pauline Bartolone, associate producer, Susanna Hines, associate manager, Brishan McKee, office manager, Peggy Law, founding director, Norman Solomon, senior advisor, David Barsamian, national advisor, and I'm your host and director of production and training, Amy Pomerleau.